those clocks. And I know that many of you have done this, that you've taken in some of the local sites, and there is a lot to do, a lot to see. And that's where I turn to Bill Cleveland. He is the author of 100 Things to Do in America Before You Die. And he has also got a great website. It's BillOnTheRoad.com. And we're going to talk about some of those out-of-the-way spots. Bill, I want to welcome you to the show, man. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon from hot and sunny St. Louis, Missouri. I guess everywhere is hot and sunny now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some of my friends on social media, you know, we're complaining just how hot it is, like in Dallas, Fort Worth, where I am. Going to get up to like 103 degrees today. And a lot of them were saying, man, they wish winter would come back. And I responded, no, forget about that. I don't want 20 degrees or 10 degrees of snow. Forget about it, man. Let's just move on. You know,
all you have to tell yourself is it's not snowing outside. And then the heat feels much better. Right?
Yep.
I'm with you. I'd much rather have it hot than cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Down here, it's a dry heat, but so is my microwave. But that's another story. good to have you on board, sir. Let's get the website out there. I mentioned the address on this. Tell folks where it is again and what's up on BillOnTheRoad.com.
Yeah, folks can go to BillOnTheRoad.com anytime for some interesting road trip ideas. That's pretty much what I do as a travel journalist. Try to encourage folks to really to hop in their car or in the big rig even and drive across the United States and find all of these really cool, fun things, whether they're just sort of roadside attractions, kind of quirky things, things related to history or sports or whatever. There's so much to see and do in the United States, and so that's sort of become my niche to try to get people to go out and rediscover America, things that maybe you once saw many years ago that maybe have changed a little bit as time has gone on, or things that you've never taken the time to go and see here in our own country. So that's really what Bill on the Road is all about, and it's a lot of fun talking travel to folks, and especially talking to folks here on your radio program.
You know, this is really a great point, too, Bill, from the standpoint many of the drivers that travel about. They'll go into a city, they will go to the warehouse or do whatever they've got to do, and then they're back out on the road. And really, many don't have the time to, you know, find those certain great areas that you are describing. So this, I think, is really going to be an encouragement for them, you know, to look up some of the sites in the areas they're going to and see what's available. I mean, at some point, all of the drivers have got to reset their hours. So would you recommend drivers maybe do a little research before they go in to a particular area to try to find some neat stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, I plug my own website, but there are plenty of travel websites out there and also a lot of travel apps. So that's one thing that I encourage folks to do. I have a handful of apps that I like. I know if you go to my website, you know, one of the recent stories I've done is about, you know, my favorite travel apps to use. One I just mentioned, kind of fun, quirky thing. So Roadside America is one of the apps people can use. And you can find things like, you know, the world's tallest fork or the world's largest rocking chair or, you know, fun things like that to find along the way. And it's all done by GPS. And like I said, there are a bunch of apps like that where folks can, if depending on where they are, they just sort of hit a button and it will tell them what's in a close radius from their location.
You know, from where I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that the Oklahoma border is not too far. And on occasion, my wife and I will travel up what is called U.S. Highway 75. And right across the Oklahoma-Texas borderline, if you will, there is a rest stop just south of Durant. It is a state-run rest stop, and it is a place where a lot of the big rigs will go in, and they'll pull in for the night, reset their hours and do things like that. But they have got a really neat tourist attraction that brings a lot of folks in there. They've got this enormous rocking chair that is probably standing 6 to 8 feet off the ground. It is enormous, but a lot of fun. You see families climbing up on this thing and taking photographs and, you know, folks standing beside the rocking chair with the seat of the chair only comes up to the top of their head. So these are some of the neat things you're talking about, right? Some really unexpected fun things can be really found out there.
Yeah, I mean, and for whatever reason, we're obsessed, I guess, with giant rocking chairs. I just did, you know, I've done several stories on people that have built these things, and I wasn't planning on talking about it today, but there's actually a little town in Illinois called Casey, Illinois. It's pronounced Casey, but it's spelled Casey, and the entire town is full of gigantic things. And so it's sort of like the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You walk down the street and they have the world's largest rocking chair, the world's largest mailbox, largest wind chime. There's like 12 of these things in their downtown, and it's a small, you know, one stoplight town.
Sure.
But they're, you know, filled with these gigantic things. So it's a lot of fun. And again, it's right off the interstate. It's off of Highway 70 between St. Louis and Indianapolis. And, you know, just kind of fun to go and see that stuff. And, yeah, kind of get your mind off of the road and traveling a little bit. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And you are, of course, in St. Louis, your hometown. And the Gateway Arch has got a brand new thing that is opening up to the public tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So great timing with this. Many folks familiar with the Gateway Arch, but what else are they doing that's going to bring a lot of folks in? Talk about that.
Well, it's super exciting, not just for us here locally, but for folks around the world who obviously know the arch and know that symbol as the gateway to the West. And if you have been to the Gateway Arch before, I would encourage folks to come back because they've done a $380 million renovation on the arch grounds and the museum that's underneath the arch. People here locally, I know, are just going to be blown away because here in St. Louis, you go on a fourth or fifth grade field trip, and then you don't really go back unless somebody comes into town, you know, and you take them up to the top of the arch. But, you know, to sort of put it in a nutshell for you, you know, the grounds are just gorgeous now. They are finally the way that they were supposed to be, you know, 51 years ago when this plan was put in place to have the arch built and the arch grounds along the Mississippi River. It's absolutely beautiful. And the museum underneath, which will open, as you mentioned, tomorrow, with a lot of fanfare, they're giving away, you know, special collector's coins to like the first 10,000 people that go through and Ozzie Smith and the mayor and, you know, all this stuff's going to be down. There's going to be a lot of fun, but it's all state of the art now. So many of these museums across the country have really had to transition from the days where you had, you know, panels on the wall with people where people would read about history. Well, now it has to be interactive. You know, you have to be able to touch things or see things moving. And so this museum, it is absolutely fabulous. I got to tour it a couple of weeks ago on a little press junket, and I'm telling you, people are going to love it. There's video screens everywhere, lots of interactive things. And honestly, for me, I think the neatest thing, they have scale models of the top five finalists for what was, you know, supposed to be on the arch ground. So before the arch went up, they had a contest.
Wow.
Say, okay, you know, what are we going to put here? What's going to be the monument as the gateway to the West? And it's really interesting to see those scale models back to back to back. And you look at them and you look at the arch and you go, well, of course they picked the arch. I mean, you know, it shouldn't have been a close competition.
Sure.
So people are going to love it. And the other thing is, you know, the security lines are going to move much faster now. That's all been changed. And, yeah, I would absolutely encourage folks to go back. It's really, really cool.
Do you find that, say, a museum or a tourist attraction undergoes a major renovation, they pump in millions of dollars, make it high tech, that it brings back a lot of local folks? Like you mentioned, I mean, if you see one site, it's going to be one and done. But will this renovation, in your estimation, bring the tourists, the local folks back in, local tourists back to the Gateway Arch?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, it's one that I posed to the folks who were working down there. I said, do you think this will bring people back down to the arch? And, you know, sort of their response, and I tend to agree with them, the short answer is yes. And because the arch now and these arch grounds will, you know, sort of be multi-purpose. They're, you know, Fair St. Louis, which is our big Fourth of July festivity, that's now moved back downtown. So that will be under the arch now. You're going to see a lot of concerts and things happening down there. You're going to have events like, you know, they have yoga and that'll happen every Saturday down there. You know, a lot of free events that people can participate in. And the museum itself will now be multi-purpose. So you'll have the National Park Service. They will be offering, you know, classes and things for people in some of the space down there. You can rent it. I mean, the space is huge now down there. So people can have parties and they can have events and things. So I think it's going to bring a lot of people back down locally as well as people who are visiting.
All right, drivers. Hey, if you want to jump in, chat with Bill Clevelin, BillOnTheRoad.com, the author of 100 Things to Do in America Before You Die. Always fun to get him on board and talk about some of the out-of-the-way places, drivers, that you might not have thought about when you've got to reset your hours out there on the road. And I bet you've got some great stories to share, ladies and gentlemen, about some of the great attractions that are out there that you have gone to visit. You walked away from the truck. Maybe you've gotten an Uber or a Lyft or a taxi, and you've gone to these sites. Man, share these locations with your fellow drivers out there. A lot of fun. First up, we're going to go to Master Sergeant 117. Good to chat with you, sir. Where do you like to go? Some of the best spots to visit when you're resetting your hours.
Well, I just want to say one thing first. I love being a truck driver because I'm a tourist and I get paid for it.
Yep.
I love being a truck driver because, number one, I've been to, like, Seattle, Washington, gone up the Space Needle, found little nooks and great little nooks here and there. Same thing for San Diego. You know, little nooks and things that people don't see a lot in their own hometown. I've done Washington, D.C. I mean, go down to the public park down there by the Capitol. You know, there's a lot of little things down there that people overlook, but if you take time, you can see them.
Yeah, it really does help pass the time, doesn't it? Because, man, these sites are really very cool to go visit. It kind of recharges your batteries, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. Sometimes it might be, you've seen it a couple times and all this stuff. But sometimes it's once in a lifetime you might see something like that, you know, or be there. The town that Abraham Lincoln was born in. I mean, they got a lot of stuff right there of history, if you're a history buff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, down south, like in Virginia, Maryland, all those places. You got the Civil War down in there. I mean, it's really great that what America has to show us. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Master Sergeant, thank you for the phone call. And Bill, to the point about that, man, this just illustrates what a great country we live in. Like he was saying, that, man, if you just look, you can always find good stuff.
I love that guy. Yeah, yeah. That's great. Like, that's
he's
what
great.
You want to hear as somebody that talks about travel, someone who's excited to go out and see things around the road. And he mentioned something interesting. He said that people sometimes don't know what they have in their own hometown. We are all guilty of this in every city across America. We forget the things that we have in our own backyard. Sometimes we don't even know. I just, about like 2 hours ago, booked a story here in the St. Louis area. I had no idea Bigfoot trucks were invented here. You know, the monster trucks.
Yes!
were invented in the St. Louis area, and I just stumbled on it last night and reached out to the folks, and they have the original Bigfoot truck. So next time that we speak, maybe I'll be able to, you know, share a video with your listeners of, you know, me driving driving the Bigfoot truck.
Oh, that'd be great. Absolutely.
But he's absolutely right, yeah.
Keep me updated on that. You know, I was just thinking about one of the tourist attractions that my family used to visit when I was, say, kid way back in the late 70s, early 80s, right off Interstate 35 in New Braunfels, Texas. There was the Animal World and Snake Farm. This was right off Interstate 35, and it's supposedly the world's largest. And in fact, I'm looking it up now. It's still there, as a matter of fact. And this is where folks can come in and experience the Animal World and the Snake Farm. And I'm just looking at this that it has been around for almost 40 years, and it's got a whole lot of different things for folks to go see and to do. It is those kind of attractions that I think a lot of folks do remember, maybe when they visited as a kid, that it might be worth going back as an adult at some point, right?
And, Mark, people will be blown away by this number, but the number of museums in the United States is over 35,000.
Wow.
That's how many museums we have in this country that people either, if they had some sort of a private collection, or it's somebody sharing a story about something that's, like you say, sort of quirky, like, you know, the vacuum cleaner museum, or last time we talked about the mustard museum.
Yes, we did.
So there's a little something for everybody, which obviously sounds cliche, and I guess it is, but that there's something for every taste out there. And you mentioned the snake museum. I'll pass on the snake museum, but I'll go to one of the other museums in the area. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, I know you've been looking at the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And when we come back out of the break, let's talk about that. From what I understand, you went to the Pittsburgh area to track down where Mr. Rogers grew up and where he did his children's TV show for 30 years. If you want to jump in, drivers, love to get you on board. I've got Bill Cleveland on the phone. He's talking about some of these out-of-the-way places, guys, that you can go visit when you are resetting your hours. And I'll bet you got a lot of great stories you can share, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe some of those out-of-the-way exhibits or museums that you've gone to go visit. You know, you maybe parked the truck at the truck stop and said, you know, I'm going to go visit this place or that place. And, man, what a ball that it might have been. So jump in. Share those stories. Where are these out-of-the-way places that you could recommend to your fellow truck drivers to go visit when they are resetting their hours? All right, I got a break here. Let's update the weather and traffic now right here on Sirius XM.
And now, traffic and weather on Road Dog Trucking News. All news, all the time.
All right, guys, like I mentioned, the heat is really going to be building in two areas of the Northeast. Now a little bit further to the west if you're going to be traveling, say around the city of Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Cleveland, Traverse City. It is going to be unusually warm and very humid. In fact, Duluth is also going to be experiencing some excessive heat on the 4th of July. I'm not looking at any adverse weather like rainfall activity, but the heat is going to be the real story for the 4th of July holiday. So if you're driving Interstate 95, Interstate 80 through some of those areas of the Northeast, man, you'd be well advised to stay ahead of the weather, stay hydrated, drink plenty of fluid, and also make sure you get plenty of rest. This heat certainly can creep up on you. All right, I've got a break for a few minutes. And again, if you want to jump in, then chat with Bill Cleveland. He is BillOnTheRoad.com, the author of 100 Things to Do in America Before You Die. And he's talking about some of the out-of-the-way places, some of the events that you can go see, some of the exhibits and sites that you can go check up and check it out for yourself when you are resetting all of your hours. I got a break for a few minutes. Back on the other side, I'm Mark Willis right here on Sirius XM 146.
You're listening to Road Dog Trucking News.
Some of the local sites to check out what's going on. Man, if you've got a story to share about something that really caught your interest, love to get you on board. You know, Bill mentioned the Mustard Museum is one of the tourist attractions that brings in thousands each and every year. And I think as well, Bill, when you look at, say, when a film comes out, that, man, this is also going to maybe get a lot of interest from tourists that might want to see just where some of the filming took place, or maybe some of the background about the person and where they grew up in. And I know the new Mr. Rogers documentary is out, Won't You Be My Neighbor. It is doing well at the box office. One of the best documentaries, from what I was reading, in many years. And did you recently go to the Pittsburgh area to track down where Mr. Rogers grew up? What did you find?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I'm pushing 40, almost to 40. So I grew up with Mr. Rogers, had him on as a kid. You know, okay. My brother and I would watch Mr. Rogers. And, so this year, 2018, is the 50th anniversary of that program. And so, people, there's a sort of renewed interest in Fred Rogers. And the documentary is out that you mentioned. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. It is one of the top three best documentaries I have ever seen in my life. It was fantastic. And what was interesting is because, you know, we always, you know, it's Mr. Rogers. We kind of, you know, maybe make little jokes. And, oh, yeah, here's this soft-spoken guy who wore these sweaters his mom made. You know, but you walk away from this thing going, holy moly, like this guy was – you know, next to Mother Teresa, as far as, you know, being like a saint. I mean, it was just and it was a lot of humor and a really remarkable guy. And so, I decided to go and visit his hometown. He lived in a little town called Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes away from Pittsburgh, and went to, where he grew up. Kind of traced his roots a little bit. He did the program in the Pittsburgh area, and so they're at the local PBS station. And what's really interesting, and you know, again, if you have kids that grew up with Mr. Rogers, they would just get a huge kick out of seeing all of the different things that sort of tell his story. So, for example, if you'll remember the program, he had the neighborhood of make-believe, right? So they have a lot of the set pieces from that show in different places around Pittsburgh. So you have the Heinz History Center, and they have, you know, again, I don't know how much you're familiar with it, but, you know, they had the castle they used on the show is there. And the little tree that he used that the owl would be in, and that's all there. And they even had the set where Mr. Rogers, every day, he walked through the door and, you know, changed his shoes and put on that sweater. And so to be able to kind of stand there and see that, especially if you grew up with this as a kid, it's very touching, you know, and it kind of takes you back to your childhood. And so, again, if you didn't grow up with it, but your kids did, I think you'll be equally as impressed and touched to see these things in person. In Latrobe, Pennsylvania, they have where the Fred Rogers Archives is located. And the archives is not open to the public. I was able to go in and see a lot of the documents and a lot of these scripts and things. Very, very cool. But they do have a section where they have all of, you know, the puppets and things that were used on that show, the original ones.
Sure.
And, the trolley, if you remember the show, we had the trolley.
Yes.
That would, you know, take people from, his living room, I guess it was his living room, into the neighborhood of make-believe, you know.
Right.
And so they have all of these things that you can see. And to just see them up close and in person, like I said, it's very touching if you grew up with it. With that program as a kid. And I cannot say enough, though, about that documentary. Everyone, it should be required viewing for every person. I mean, it is just phenomenal, and it makes you actually a little depressed when you leave, because you're like, there's nobody else like a Mr. Rogers anymore.
No, absolutely. You know, a little trivia about the trolley that you're mentioning. There was always somebody behind the scene that was operating that trolley, and there was one of the people that was operating that trolley turned out to be very, very famous years later. Do you know this? It's a trivia question.
Yes, it is. It's Michael Keaton.
It is. Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah
Michael Keaton that went on to Batman fame years later.
Yeah. He was a stagehand on that program. You can go to – now, they don't the TV station is still there, so you can drive by and see that. There's nothing really to pop in and see there necessarily.
Sure.
And then Pittsburgh, if you've never been to Pittsburgh, great town. Lots of cool things to see and do.
Right.
The Mr. Rogers stuff is really cool, and I've got an article up at BillOnTheRoad.com for anybody that wants to check those things out.
All right. I got a break for a few minutes for news and weather. Bill, so hold on for just a minute. BillOnTheRoad.com drivers on the phone with me. Bill Cleveland, the author of 100 Things to Do in America.
All all news, all the time. Now, back to Road Dog Trucking News with Mark Willis.
Hey, drivers, I'll bet you from time to time that you've maybe spent a little time checking out some of the sites and exhibits and maybe some of the museums in some of the towns and cities that you've gone to visit. You've got to reset your hours. You know you've got to get away from that truck every now and then. And if you've gone to visit some of the local tourist attractions, some of the cool things that are in a local community out there, I'd love to get you on board to talk about where these things are and what's inside. This is really going to be a big help to a lot of your fellow drivers that may be going through the same area. They may not know about some of the tourist attractions or some of the cool out-of-the-way events that are going to be happening. So jump in and chat about it. I've got Bill Cleveland on the phone. First up, this go-around, I've got Earl in Tennessee. Earl, welcome to the program, man. Some of the out-of-the-way spots a lot of drivers may not know about. Where do you like to go?
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Mark. Well, there is a Food Lion distribution center in a small town of Ellery, South Carolina.
Okay.
So if anybody's got some couple hours to kill, it's in walking distance right downtown. This place is almost a ghost town. But they have such a well-done cultural and heritage center that takes you from about the 1820s all the way up to the 1940s. It's a two-level place. It only costs you $5 to get in, but it is well worth 2 or 3 hours just spend walking around this place.
Yeah, are you a big history buffer?
Oh, I love history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, I spent 4 or 5 hours in the in Nashville. I was parked at the TA there, and I went down to the Country Music Hall of Fame, which is only a mile walk from the truck stop.
Sure.
It's a fantastic place.
Yeah, that's a cool thing about it, too, you know, because you don't want to sit around, you know, a truck stop looking at your ELD or looking back at you. You got to get away from that truck every now and then, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I like to get out, walk around, just see the sights. I mean, yeah. There are so many wonderful places all over this country to visit, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Another favorite place to visit is Pella, Iowa. Now, there's a small truck stop there. Within walking distance is an old Dutch community that was started back in the 1850s, and it's also the boyhood home of Wyatt Earp. So you can walk downtown to see all these neat things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially if it's walking distance, man, that's going to make it a lot of fun and save on the expense of maybe a cab. But, Earl, thank you, man, for calling into the program. You know, Bill, again, it's just another illustration that the guys out there really know where these out-of-the-way spots are, don't they?
Well, and he mentioned Pella, Iowa, which he's right. It's a really nice little Dutch community. And what's kind of fun is they have one of the things they have are a pair of giant wooden shoes right in the front of one of these windmills. And you can walk up and you stand inside the shoes and kind of get a fun photo op, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, he mentioned Tennessee and the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's right. That is a fantastic museum. Another place people might not know about in Nashville because it doesn't usually make the top list of things to do because, you know, it's Music City, USA, and it's country music.
Sure.
But there's a place called the Lane Auto Museum.
Okay.
Which is a guy has collected a bunch of these European classic cars, and it's really, really neat. And, you know, he'll even let you climb inside some of them to kind of get, you know, feel what they're like. And I'm not very schooled on cars or stuff like that, but I will tell you, they're a lot of fun to look at. And that's one, it's a real close I don't know if it's walking distance, but it's not far at all from downtown Nashville. And one of those sites that kind of go unnoticed, but people should definitely check it out if you're in the area.
You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, I would watch the program with Laverne and Shirley. Remember that? And I think that was set in Milwaukee. And in Milwaukee, of course, a great city, a lot of great folks there. But what do you find with Milwaukee? Is that maybe an underrated Midwest city? Should folks check out things in Milwaukee? What did you find?
Yeah, it really is. I've been to Milwaukee several times. It's, you know, from where I live in St. Louis, it's, you know, a 5, maybe 6 hour drive.
Sure.
It's an easy drive up there. But yeah, right along the Lake Michigan coast, and a lot of, and you're probably seeing a theme here. I kind of like these quirky kind of off the wall things, you know. And you know, one of the things that I think was kind of interesting the last time I went up there, I toured Miller Park, which of course is where the Milwaukee Brewers play, and really any baseball stadium you can take a tour. I assume most people know that. Maybe people don't know it, but usually you can take a tour of the stadium, kind of see behind the scenes. And one of the things I thought was kind of neat about the Miller Park tour, their press box is located, it's behind home plate, as most press boxes are, but sure. For whatever reason, the angles are such that they get a lot of foul balls flying into their press box, and what happens is the ball will hit the drywall inside the press box. So when you take a tour of the stadium, they'll take you inside the press box, and what you'll notice is every time a fly ball, or foul ball, I guess I should say, flies back and goes through a wall or causes some sort of damage, members of the local press mark who hit the ball, what time.
That's great.
When it happened.
That's
and
great.
So it's this, you know, it's like hole after hole after hole. And it's just kind of a fun little thing to take note of. And you check that out. And yeah, the first Harley Davidson motorcycle, you can check that out. That's in Milwaukee. You mentioned Laverne and Shirley, but Happy Days was also based in Milwaukee.
Yes.
So you can see a statue of the Fonz. They've got that downtown along the Riverwalk. So yeah, a lot of cool things to do in Milwaukee. I like that town a lot.
You know, I love that story about the foul balls going back into the press box. Man, what a unique story that is. I've never heard of anything like that in Major League Baseball. But, man, think about some of the names that must be up on that wall from over the years, you know? Wow, that must be incredible to see.
It was pretty cool. And then, you know, if you're lucky, they'll take you in the broadcast booth and you could actually, you know, sit in Bob Uecker's chair, I guess, if you want to do that too. But the foul ball thing I thought was pretty neat.
No, absolutely. That's one of the cool things. All right, that's in Milwaukee. I got to break one more time for a minute, Bill, more traffic and weather. And then when we come back, you know, a lot of folks know about the great state of Iowa as being a wonderful location, good people, a lot of great business there as well, but there are some quirky places that you can check out in Iowa, drivers, and Bill Cleveland's going to talk about that when we come back out of the break. And love to get you on board if you want to share. I know Iowa, of course, has been on your radar screen. Great place, wonderful people out there, but I bet there's some really out-of-the-way places or quirky places people can go see. What did you do?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Iowa is fantastic. I have met so many just really genuine, nice, you know, you'd say salt of the earth people traveling throughout Iowa. And I recently did a story about kind of, I keep using the word quirky, but fun or off the beaten path places that you can stay in Iowa. And so I found five. And I stayed in three of the five. One of them is actually a gas station. So there's a guy in Pleasantville, Iowa, and his father owned a gas station, a Sinclair gas station, when he was a young man.
Right.
And so when he closed that shop, you know, 20, 30 years ago, he was at least smart enough to hang on to all of the memorabilia. And so he now has his own gas station. It's out in the country, but you drive up and it looks like a genuine
Sinclair
gas station. They have the old pumps out front.
Oh, yeah.
And you can stay there. So it's sort of an Airbnb type place. Genuine enough, he said that people on occasion actually pull up wanting, you know, to have their tents filled. They're like, yeah, no, this isn't a real gas station anymore.
That's great.
So check that out. There's a guy in Decorah, Iowa, which is in the northeast section of the state, and he has two kind of fun places. One is a train caboose.
Okay.
So he took a caboose and he turned it into an Airbnb so you can sleep in there. They have a big queen-size bunk on top. They have bunk beds down below.
Wow.
You know, you can take a shower. It's air-conditioned. They've got heat. And you can stay in there. Beautiful country. You're kind of out in really in the middle of a cornfield, essentially.
Sure.
And he also has a grain silo, which is pretty cool. So I slept in the grain silo. I slept in the caboose and slept at the gas station. And all were great and all were a lot of fun and different from, you know, just a regular hotel.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so
sure.
Maybe if folks are looking to plan a trip through Iowa, you might want to check those out. Also kind of cool, the Field of Dreams house.
Oh, yeah.
You can now rent
from the movie.
You can rent that home. And so now it's not cheap. I'm not going to lie. It's about $2,000 a night. But if you have some friends who are huge baseball fans and love that movie, you know, maybe pull a few of your resources together and have a night out at the house and play baseball on the field at the Field of Dreams.
You know, this is all great stuff. And, man, these are really great ideas for the drivers maybe to go check out because, man, there's nothing more boring than maybe sitting around, you know, a truck stop, just kind of resetting your hours and passing the time. So I'm hoping this has given the guys some ideas that they can utilize to help make the time go a lot smoother. Bill, I'm out of time. I really appreciate you joining